This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 24th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's over. You can come out now. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, as long as we stay away from politics. And those of you who wanted politics, well, you got it for a few hours tonight. That's right. However, that said, I do have seven myths about U.S. presidents that just don't go away. Yeah, both sides of the aisle. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. Now, about those myths. George Washington had wooden teeth. No, actually, and you know, that's a very widespread and persistent conversation that he supposedly had wooden dentures. And he had an array of dental problems, no doubt about that. Often mentioned his aching teeth in various settings, inflamed gums, ill-fitting dentures in letters and diary entries and things like that. But wooden teeth were never part of his solution. In fact, the truth is more bizarre. I kid you not. His various sets of dentures were crafted from ivory, gold, lead, that says a lot, doesn't it? Cow and horse teeth and human teeth. The myth of the wooden dentures arose because ivory dentures that Washington did use often became stained over time and took on a wood-like appearance. Now we have William Howard Taft. And the myth about him, you might have heard this on occasion, is that he got stuck in a White House bathtub. And that might be the only thing you know about William Howard Taft, if you know anything at all, because the bathtub story has made the rounds. Now, he was over 300 pounds, but as far as becoming wedged in a White House bathtub and requiring six men to extract him, well, there's a great image there, but no credible historical evidence that it ever took place. He was aware of his size. And this gives credence to that it didn't take place because of that, he always ordered oversized bathtubs, one of which weighed a ton and was installed at the White House. I have no idea if it's still there. Probably a remodel took it long ago, but I don't know. I'd have left it as a curiosity. But apparently the supersized tubs inspired the myth of him getting stuck in a regular bathtub, which was absolutely a fabrication. And as will come as no surprise to you, a fabrication propagated by his political rivals. Abraham Lincoln wrote the Gettysburg Address on the train. Widely considered one of the greatest speeches in American history, and the persistent myth is that Lincoln hastily scribbled the immortal address on the back of an envelope while on the train to Pennsylvania. Entirely fictional. Lincoln started working on his speech not long after the Battle of Gettysburg was fought in 1863, a few months before he gave the address, which was November 19th. He prepared multiple drafts, five copies of which still exists. None displays the shaky handwriting that would be inevitable if the speech were ever written on a jolting, bumpy train ride, which was the case in the day. Then we have Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt rode a bull moose. Well, in 1912, Theodore Roosevelt launched a presidential campaign as the candidate of the Progressive Party, and during the campaign, he famously declared that he felt strong as a bull moose after which the party was popularly referred to as the Bull Moose Party. From there, embellishments started to come to the fore, including that Roosevelt actually rode a bull moose during the campaign. He never did. The blame went to a fake newspaper image created in 1912. You see, long before, more than 100 years before AI, they were doing that. 2 months before the election, the New York Tribune published a set of humorous pictures under the headline, "The Race for the White House." Created by the photographic firm Underwood & Underwood, three images showed each presidential candidate astride the animal associated with his party. William Howard Taft riding an elephant, Woodrow Wilson sitting on a donkey, and Roosevelt sitting proudly on a bull moose. A closer look at any of the images proved that all of them were fake, but they nonetheless were out in the public and people believed it. Now, George Washington, this one, we've all heard about this. George Washington cut down his father's cherry tree. And probably you've heard that that isn't true. And it isn't. And yeah, I cannot tell a lie. I did cut it with my hatchet, said George, supposedly confessing, demonstrating his innate honesty, which is a wonderful story that's been told to generations of American school children as an example of integrity and truthfulness. But of course, it never happened. It was invented by Mason Locke Weems, who was one of Washington's first biographers, and published in The Life of Washington in 1800, shortly after he died. Weems was just as interested in creating an aspiring moral fable as he was in documenting historical fact. Ironically, his cherry tree story, invented to celebrate Washington's honesty, became one of the president's most enduring lies. Yeah, to this day. William Henry Harrison died from pneumonia after his long inaugural speech. Well, that'll serve him right. No, he gave the longest inaugural address in history. So if you were thinking you just heard it all contraire, no. We're talking about 8,460 words that took 2 hours to deliver. Unfortunately for Harrison, he had to deliver the epic address in cold, wet weather without a coat. And so they say he died of pneumonia 1 month later. Well, he did. The death is true. But regarding the cause, the speech is not what killed him. Modern medical historians who have examined the evidence believe he likely died from enteric fever, not pneumonia, as a result of cold in his inauguration. The true culprit was probably Washington's inadequate sewer system at the time and the White House's close proximity to a marsh full of human waste, breeding ground for disease. John F. Kennedy actually called himself a jelly donut. I always love that. And yeah, presidents all say a bunch of weird stuff, but it's not every day that they solemnly declared in front of thousands of Germans and an eagerly watching world that I am a jelly donut. It's a wonderful myth, but John F. Kennedy did that to a degree. In his famous 1963 speech in Berlin, he declared himself, "Ich bin ein Berliner," German for "I am a Berliner," in solidarity with West Berlin. But here's where things get weird. He did say that in solidarity with West Berlin. Rumors later began to circulate in the U.S. that Kennedy made a grammatical error, resulting in him referring to himself as not as a citizen of Berlin, but as a jelly donut, known in certain parts of the country as a Berliner. And delightful as that gaffe may be, and I've always loved it, the truth is that every German watching Kennedy's address would have understood perfectly well what he was referring to. The crowd knew Kennedy was expressing solidarity, not declaring himself a pastry. Of course, the myth stuck around anyway, and I just love it, proving how stubborn some tales can be. All right, so we're going to talk to Jim in Richmond and David in Muskegon and Don in Beloit. But right now, I'm going to remind you of how great the Sea Crane Company is. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. Still talking about that CC Radio 2E, which is my bedside companion. And what makes it great? Well, do the litmus test I always suggest. Take the average radio, tune it to a weak AM station. Take the CC Radio 2E, tune it to the same station, and it will sell itself. But it's not just AM with a twin coil ferrite. It's FM as well. This radio is highly selective, and if long-range reception is your goal, now again, it's not going to create a miracle. If the signal isn't somewhere over your head, you're not going to pull it in on the radio. But if it is and no other radios are doing it, chances are good this one will. It's really one of the best AM-FM radios made today, and it sounds great. Yeah, the clarity is wonderful. control, and you get a separate bass and treble control, and you can have it sound just like them right in the room next to you, if that's your desire. Otherwise, go for a little more bass and enjoy some R&B oldies. Now, the nice thing about it is it also makes for a great emergency radio because it's got the weather band and a weather alert, and also a clock and a timer, an alarm, and a dial light. So it really is the perfect bedside companion. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and look at it, order it. But if for some reason you can't go online, or if you just want somebody to talk to in person in America, 800-522-8863, 800-522-2, and they'll answer all your questions, and yes, you can order by phone. But if you can go online, ccradio.com is not only chock full of great radios, but it's a wonderful repository of radio information as well. So if you're a radio fan, this is one to bookmark, ccradio.com. You look at the CC Radio 2E, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
What's your choice? What's your choice? What's your choice? Tell me, who do you love? Am I the one that you're thinking of? Got all the boys standing in line. Tell me, who do you love, girl? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. What's your choice? Tell me, who do you love? Am I the one that you're thinking of? Jim, he's sincere.
Oh, and Joe, he's fun.
Johnny's nice.
Yeah, but is he the one?
Then there's me, who's last but not least. So come on now, girl, and speak your piece.
WGN Radio. I couldn't resist it. I figure since we had a Republican State of the Union address and a Democratic rebuttal, it was appropriate I play the Radiance. Voice your choice. Obviously, Maurice McAllister didn't have that in mind when he wrote it, but still a fine record. I'll take any excuse I can get. 1964 on Chess, of course. Jim is in Richmond. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh, for taking my call.
Always.
I just wanted to let you know that all the years that I was teaching Learn to Skate in Skokie, I had so many girls on several of my hockey teams. And four of them went on to play in college hockey.
Okay.
Three of them got free rides to play hockey in those schools, and they paid for their education.
Great.
And two of them came back. One of them came back and helped out at the Skokie rink. And I'm sorry to say that I was so excited to see them play in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And they were only allowed two goals in the whole tournament in there to win their gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very upset tonight when the president awarded the goaltender.
Okay, we're not going to go there. We're absolutely not. No. I'm shutting you down immediately. I don't care if it's sports related or whatever. We are not talking about anything having to do with this speech or your feelings about it or anybody's feelings about it. Off limits, okay?
I just want to say that I am a great supporter.
I understand you're a supporter of whatever, but then that's fine. But you didn't have to tie it into this speech. And the fact that you did, we're done with that conversation. Do you have anything else to say?
No.
Okay, thanks. I just, talk to you later. All right. So, no. When I say that this is absolutely a political free zone, I mean it. Do I have feelings? You bet I do. You bet I'm strongly biased. And you're not going to know how. Not on this show, because this is absolutely a time for us to forget about that. There's so many avenues to talk about it. You could parse this speech six ways to Sunday, or the response as well. And there's plenty of avenues for that. And I keep it a safe zone for those who have told me repeatedly the last thing they want to discuss is politics. And yes, that absolutely is political. So, in terms of that. So we'll stop. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. Don in Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, how about yourself?
Hey, I don't know. I've been meaning to ask you this question about modern cars, because I know you have so many experiences. But I rent a lot of cars because I travel a lot for work, and I sort of rent a little bit of everything, you know. And just I just so many times get in a car. I'll be in Colorado next week at Denver Airport, and last time I was there a few weeks ago, I got so frustrated trying to get AM on a dashboard touchscreen, you know, and it's just so complicated to just, you know, some cars are easier, but in general, it's really becoming worse and worse. What I just thought I'd ask if you ever experienced that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is an issue that's been brought up really since the beginnings of the smart dash, since that was being discussed, let alone implemented. The reality, though, and I hate to say it, is radio did this to itself. The overwhelming majority of people don't listen to AM radio. I'm thrilled that WGN remains valid and remains obviously viable and local and everything else that's wonderful about it. But it's a rare case. In most cities, you don't have that option. Years ago, oh man, this goes back 40 years ago now. When I was at Billboard as radio editor, at the time we were still on the diary method for Arbitron, which was, you know, the American Research Bureau became Arbitron, and it was still diary, and I didn't believe in that for a lot of reasons. But anyway, what I would do is I'd go to the airport. Because here I was going to be able to see what people listen to, they're coming from out of town, without the advertising and the PR campaigns or the billboards, whatever. This is just what they're going to listen to based on what they like. And I will tell you that by the late 80s, the AM presets weren't made. They'd be at the 540 and the 1710 and all that, just not made. And I think the only exception was on some of the upper level cars, Cadillacs and the budget Lincolns. Occasionally you'd have the all news preset. But for the most part, these cars, and I'd look, have 20,000 miles worth of tourism, and nobody did a preset for AM. All the FM were preset. So, you know, you're playing to the public. And so I'm not sure that many people are complaining about this. If they were, you wouldn't be seeing it.
Yeah. Some of them, you know, you can go to home and go to source and go to radio. And, you know, it's really easy. You know, some of them aren't really that bad. But, boy, there's a lot of companies out there that...
Oh yeah, and of course,
good ones, and then you go on their other side or their SUV fleet, and they're all a mess.
Well, and then you have also the issue with electric cars, the manufacturers not wanting to spend the money to isolate it, and so that's why there's that AM bill in Congress, and hopefully it'll pass. But whether it does or not, it doesn't mandate that it be easily accessible. So, but you know, the smart dash used to be, you know, here it is, you're driving along, it's a Saturday afternoon, and my God, there's hail, and you turn on the radio and they tell you what's going on. Not now. You know, you'll have 20 hits in a row, but you will not hear anything about your hail. And so, unfortunately, radio has abdicated a lot of what is in that smart dash. And it's very unfortunate. Now, WGN, again, is the exception. But in many markets, you won't have a WGN.
I really like saving stations, you know, and like I'll be like, oh, next time I go to Houston, I'm going to listen to this one and this one, you know. So I like make little notes to myself all the time, but well, it's hard to get there. You're just like, oh, how can I do this again? You're just so frustrated, and you're adjusting your mirrors, and you're like, well, I could spend 30 minutes on this and still not get to the screen I want.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's so many things about the cars, not just that. My God, you have to read the manual for everything these days. So sure. And you would hope that people who actually own these cars have familiarized themselves with all the features. But in general, you know, it's a popularity contest. If everybody was clamoring for it, you know it would be front and center.
Yeah, yeah.
So... there it is. I mean, I share your angst, but it's understandable.
Oh, you see the stuff up there for SiriusXM, you know, and you're like, you're I'm just going to push that. Of course, there's no SiriusXM. They just do it for the teaser.
Something worse about that, as far as I'm concerned, and that the fact that it's in every car unsold on the lot, they're counting that as a subscriber when they're pitching advertisers. I don't like that at all. I could go on and on, but it is a freebie. If you buy the car, you get it free for a percentage of time. You know, even the used cars.
6 months.
Even if you buy a 20-year-old used car, you get it for 3 months. You know, that kind of thing. And then they try to upsell you, obviously. And that's there. And when you're talking about rentals, I assume that if you're just getting the promo features, that it has either never been activated or isn't included in the fleet sale for rental companies. I don't know.
I now that you mention it, I do know what you're talking about. When you see someone saved some radio, you know, I mean, a lot of cars, of course, you know, you can do dozens and dozens, but I think you're right. Now that you mention it,
yeah,
there really is very rarely AM station
that's
saved
right.
On a,
yeah,
on a car.
Add that in your travels and let me know. Keep looking. I can't wait to hear your reports. And thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Don.
No problem.
All right. Good deal.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So 888-876-5593. Two more hours, hopefully with you, with David, with Eduardo, and plenty of room for you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original. I've got my mind set on you and James Ray. And it was Billy Bob and Bourbonnais who wanted to hear it. He knew the George Harrison Got My Mind Set on You, but didn't know there was I've Got My Mind Set on You, the original. Yeah, and actually the story is less about James Ray, as far as I'm concerned, than it is Rudy Clark. Rudy was a tremendous songwriter, and he saw James Ray performing and said, hey, I might be able to do something with you. And the first thing he gave him was If You Gotta Make a Fool of Somebody, which charted well, and that was the only real chart song that mattered that James Ray had. Got My Mind Set on You did not chart. But it's interesting because, of course, years later, here comes George Harrison, and it goes to number one on the pop charts, number two in the UK. So Rudy Clark did really well with that, and yes, he was still alive to know it. And he wrote a number of wonderful things. The Shoof Shoof song for Betty Everett, and actually, originally, I think that was Mary Clayton. But regardless, it was was ahead. Good Lovin', which later the Young Rascals, but originally, of course, the Olympics. And, you know, that was, and so many other things as well. But that is the deal on I've Got My Mind Set on You, Rudy Clark, that George Harrison released has Got My Mind Set on You. But hey, the royalties worked either way. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And David is in Muskegon. All right, so let's see. Get the magic twang around. I know, I keep saying this while I'm on the air. I'm going to change the batteries, and then I don't. All right, but maybe tonight. Maybe this will be the night. I don't know. David in Muskegon, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I haven't called you in a while.
That's okay.
You know, I was just thinking of something.
You were, huh?
You know, I was wondering who owns TVFM, because what I was thinking, you know, if Mark and David from Mark from Aurora and David could approach the owner about letting them program that radio station, that might be really something.
TVFM
is. And the reason I say that, I think they would do a good job on it.
If you're talking about TVFM, the Department of Television, Film, and Media, it's at Cal State Los Angeles. So it's part of their media production courses and stuff like that. So Cal State has that. It's part of the
academic. Cal State has that TVFM, the oldie station out of Chicago?
Well, no. TVFM is absolutely a Cal State thing. Are you sure it's TVFM? Because I don't think it is.
It's TB. It might be TBFM.
Oh.
It's 108 or 107.9.
Okay. So
it's over on the television band, kind of.
Well, yeah, all right. So
it's
no.
It's the old WGN-FM.
Yeah, right. Very old. All right. So I'm not sure. Tell you, I don't know enough about it.
Yes, because I was just thinking that, you know, because with their knowledge, those two gentlemen, they should be, you know, I wish somebody would let them, like, get on the air and let them do their thing, because they have such knowledge of
music. Wait a minute. Now, when you're saying TVFM, what I think you're talking about is MeTVFM, which is syndicated.
So, oh, out of Chicago?
Yes. Yes, yeah, because they've.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's Me. It's part of Me TV. You know, the network that's similar to Antenna Television.
Yes.
Me TV, and it's an FM thing that they tried to syndicate. I mean, they actually sent me an email about carrying it, and I didn't stop laughing. But nonetheless, you know, because of what we do is absolutely not what they do. But anyway, it's Me TV FM. So that's that 87.7.
Oh, yeah, 87.7, and because I was thinking they're syndicating it. Mark and David could do a better job of programming that station than who's presently doing it.
Well, I obviously have no opinion whatsoever.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah,
and the reason why I say that,
you know, so by the way, since it's part of MeTV, it's owned by Weigel, if you wanted to contact somebody. It's owned by Weigel.
Weigel.
W-E-I-G-E-L, Weigel.
Oh, it's owned by Weigel. Is that just an individual?
It's a company. All right.
Weigel Communications or what?
Weigel Broadcasting.
Okay, Weigel Broadcasting. Yeah, because Mark and David could really do something with that.
Well,
they would do better as far as the oldies with their knowledge and who's presently programming.
Well, I'm sure you could write to them, and maybe they will be interested. I really can't speak to it.
Now, what city is that out of? Is that out of Chicago or a suburb?
Oh, is it a suburb or not? That what's their address?
Yes.
Well, that I could actually tell you that possibly, but it doesn't matter. If you go online to I think it's like weigelbroadcasting.com, they'll have a contact form where you can email them.
Oh, okay, because I can go to the library and do it, and have some possibly look at emailing them and telling them that I know a couple of people come on the Raleigh James show that could program that station.
No, don't mention me. Do yourself a favor.
I know a couple of people Okay, don't mention you.
No,
okay?
don't mention me. I guarantee you that won't help. I think they're in downtown Chicago or pretty close anyway. But you know, that's the deal. And they've been trying to syndicate it for a little while now, and I have no idea how it's doing.
Yes, because I've listened to it, and the music's put together pretty badly, personally, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's your opinion. Obviously, it's not theirs.
I mean, the oldies is put together pretty badly.
Well, again, but that's your opinion based on your taste.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's no more valid than anybody else's.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, so what you're saying is, hey, it doesn't float my boat, but that doesn't mean that that it's not doing well. See, again, I don't know. It's online, and you could listen to it if you want, and if you don't want, don't listen to it. But they're obviously playing the hits, no doubt about that.
The reason because I listen to old for the oldies, who does the really good job is Pure Oldies 104.5 out of Des Moines and 106.9 out of Milwaukee. Now, they do a really good job at the way AM radio actually was back in the 60s.
All right, well, there you go.
I mean, the TBFM just don't cut it as far as...
As far as you're concerned, that's right, but somebody else may love it. I don't know.
Yes.
You know, Pure Oldies used to be a syndicated format. I don't know if it still is or not.
It used to be with Westwood One and ABC, and then ABC and Westwood One dropped it.
Right, but I think it was
a combination
Saga.
Of both.
No, I think it was for a while. I think it was Saga, but anyway, there's been a lot of changes there as well. In any event, there was Pure Oldies, and there was True Oldies. That was Scott Shannon's thing, and then there was, you know, there's so many that have been here and gone as far as that goes. But you know, the beautiful thing about going online, as you well know, David, is that whatever it is you want to hear, you can find it.
Oh yeah.
So there you are.
Oh yes, you can find whatever it is you want to hear.
Yes.
And I was going to tell Mark and David that Pure Oldies format for oldies is actually they do it just the way radio was.
All right.
As I remember it growing up in the 60s.
I've not heard it, not exposed to it, so I can't comment other than to say, okay, if you enjoy it, keep listening.
Yes, I've heard it. I listened to it quite a bit, actually.
All right. Very good.
What I'll do is I'll put my small Lex in the bedroom on Pure Oldies and sit and listen to it for like 4 or 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I got I love my oldies,
uh-huh,
along with my classic rock, my
uh-huh,
active rock, soul. Uh-huh. I have such an eclectic taste. Because when I lay down, I'll listen to oldies. That's what I want to hear, is oldies. Not
and you,
when I'm
and you can. And you can. So since you've got places where you can hear it, stick with it.
Oh, yeah,
all
I
right.
do.
Good deal.
Yes, that was one thing. And, you know, another thing I was thinking about is Fran and Gary. I'm glad to hear from Fran and Gary and know that Gary's okay. I was kind of worried about Gary.
Well, Gary, we're going to be talking to Gary next, and I think he's doing just fine.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I was thinking, it'd be nice somewhere if they could do a team show, because the way they do it on your show, the way Fran does it, and when Gary talks, it sounds like they would work well together on air.
All right. Well, there you go. There's a suggestion for you. Always good to hear from you. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will talk to Gary in Austin next. We got Eduardo in Tampa. We got Karen in Chicago wants to talk about the Cascades. Very few people talk about the Cascades. Rhythm of the Rain, anybody? All right, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say. Me astray.
If you do, then forgive me and make the world go away. Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day.
Just WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Eddie Arnold. Yeah, Hank Cochran wrote it, but Make the World Go Away, big for him in 1965 on RCA, and it was Gene who wanted to hear that. And actually, a couple years later, Eddie Arnold did Turn the World Around the Other Way, which was my favorite of the two, but that was Ben Peters who wrote that. Maybe we'll get to that later, but hopefully Gene enjoyed Make the World Go Away. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Gary is in Austin. All right, Gary, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, talking about AM, and I think the last AM station, music station I used to like was the new 79Q.
Okay.
But there's really people who who live in Chicago don't know how lucky they are to have WGN.
Yes.
Because most cities you go to, there's nothing on AM to bother with.
Right. Sadly, so many of them are by the Giants, the iHearts, or the Cumuluses, or the Odysseys. And you know, it's not so much that they're greedy as much as that they're desperate. They don't have dollars to program them. And so it's like the last thing they think about. If they didn't LMA it to Korean or something, you know, God only knows what they're doing, but they're not spending money. And I get that, sadly.
Unfortunately, that's true. And, you know, nobody does news on AM. I mean, now when we've had some significant weather events the last few years, I'm not listening to my AM radio to see what's up.
No, and sadly,
on my phone.
I was going to say, sadly, with weather events, you're not listening to FM either. You know, you're not listening to the radio.
No, you're not.
And that's a real loss. You know, I've mentioned before, it was actually a long time ago, like 1990 maybe, that I was going through Spearfish, South Dakota, and hit this just tornado on the interstate, you know, and I'm practically airborne at this point. And as I'm on my floorboard and I'm reaching up and dialing around, you know, on the AM band to say, what the hell's going on, you know, right? The only station that seemed to be live was actually Coma in Oklahoma City, but they did not care about my tornado. That's for damn sure.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, and rightfully so. But I mean, there was nothing. And, you know, I've watched that since then. I remember one time on a Saturday afternoon, when we were still in Idaho, in North Idaho, we're driving through Coeur d'Alene, and I mean, all hell broke loose. And I tried every station from Idaho and Spokane, you know, Washington and all that. And absolutely no one told me about my weather. So this sadly is the norm. The WGNs of the world are very rare.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anybody in any major market, you know, that has an equivalent of WGN.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, somebody was talking about Houston earlier.
Oh, yeah, right. I was laughing.
You got KTRH.
Right.
That they've been gutted.
Completely.
I mean, 30 years ago when I lived in Galveston Island, KTRH had a news department and they had good weather coverage and all that.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't afford to do it, so they've gutted it.
Right, and it's one of nine they own in the cluster, and it's the last one they think about. You know, for a while, the CBSs, before they sold to what became Odyssey, had some original stuff on there, you know, the KMOXs of the world, or the CCOs. Even them have just gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, I know, and it's... You know, it's sad because we had the AM radio bill, but what does it matter when...
Well, that's it. When the programming's not there, when people aren't going to listen to it.
The programming's not there, and they're getting their same.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we will pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Turn the world around the other way. Back it up and stop on yesterday. Back to before that silly fight. And give me a chance to make things right. I said some things I didn't mean to say. Things that I'm so sorry for today. Down on my knees, I beg you please to turn the world around the other way. I never really wanted us to break up, and I'm sorry for each teardrop that you cried. We need to give our hearts a chance to make up. And darling, will you standing by my side? We'll turn the world around the other way. Back to where it started yesterday.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I figure some equal time for the one I liked better. Turn the World Around the Other Way, 1967 on RCA. It was number one, just like Make the World Go Away two years earlier, but only number one for 1 week. I think Make the World Go Away is number one for 3 weeks, and Ben Peters wrote that one. All right, so back to Gary and Austin. Yes, about the state of radio abdicating its role. I was thinking during the break, I remember driving back from Las Vegas. This is within the last decade, for sure. And I'm on the interstate, and it I-40 actually, it is bumper to bumper. Things are just nothing moving. So this gives me plenty of time to try to listen to every possible radio station that I could pick up, which was a lot of radio stations. Absolutely no one ever mentioned why I was stuck in traffic. I finally had to just, you know, get out, because when I go away, John gives me a phone, because I hate phones, you know, I don't use them. And so I get out the phone, and I use it, and of course I immediately go to ADOT, and they tell me about my tie-up. And it's like, and why did radio abdicate this role? So, there it is.
Yeah, that's true. And some stations don't even do traffic anymore.
Oh, absolutely. Or it's almost automated, syndicated traffic. Yeah. In 30 seconds, they'll cover 30 freeways. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess overnight's KNX and the KCBS simulcast their traffic. So that's kind of odd. But I get why they do it, but still.
Well, it's been going that way for a long time in terms of syndicated traffic, unfortunately. Gone are the days of a station having their own chopper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to like listening to the choppers on their scanner frequencies, because sometimes they would all talk amongst each other.
Right.
And you might hear some interesting gossip.
Right.
You know, and stuff. I know... when I would go visit my family, I'd listen to BAP and their traffic guy, the stuff they said between each other while they were, you know, playing music or whatever.
Yeah.
It was funnier than what they ever said on the air.
Oh, absolutely.
But,
no, most of it not ready for broadcast.
No, you couldn't. They couldn't say stuff they said on the air. But so many AM stations, if they, you know, if they're talk, it's all the same part of the spectrum. I mean, I'd love to hear a station that was all non-political talk. I think that'd be great.
It's tough, unfortunately. You know, when people say to me, well, what do you talk about? You know, I'll say, absolutely nothing of importance. Well, how do you do that 3 hours a night? You find a way. But it's very easy to play the political hits, obviously.
Yeah.
It's sort of a bad move in a way to hang your hat on your politics. And, you know, that's why when Rush Limbaugh became so successful, and I'll always say it was because he was an entertainer. It's because he was a great top 40 jock in his day, you know, and all that. And it wasn't what he thought about feminism. It was a phrase like feminazi and all that. But you had a lot of people who were adverse to his politics. Well, we'll start a liberal talk radio network. Well, and they all failed. And the problem with it is it wasn't about whether it was liberal or conservative. It was about, was it entertaining? And far too often, people take themselves too damn seriously.
Indeed. Yeah, I quit listening to him in the early 90s when he started taking himself more seriously.
Well, right. You know. I think the worst thing that happened to him was he got to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom or something. You know, I mean, yeah, suddenly he was a part of the in crowd. And yeah, the timbre of the show changed. You know, I mean, still highly successful. And we all owe him in radio a tremendous debt of gratitude, because what he gave the industry was something badly needed. And that is that where you are does not equate to you being relevant. People were thinking, because after all, network radio in the 50s, which was displaced by top 40, the adage was, you've got to be local, local and live, local and live. And they equated local with relevance. And what Rush proved single-handedly was that it wasn't about geographic location. It was about relatability on other levels. And stations that, and managers, you know, I work for a guy, I'll never carry Rush Limbaugh. He winds up buying them. But, you know, I'll never do that, you know, because that was the prevailing logic. And he proved single-handedly that that just wasn't true. And we all owe him for that.
Well, yeah, and then we also have other issues with AM, all the various forms of interference.
Oh, yeah.
iPhones and cable boxes. And
your microwave oven.
Security lighting and microwave ovens. And
your dimmer switch. On and on. The list is endless. We could go all night with that, and I don't think we'd run out of examples there. And sure, the bandwidth is not really ideal for the purpose it's used. Now, of course, you're probably in my camp, too, on an emotional level. We don't want to get rid of AM because we love the DXing. You know, we'll put up with anything just to, you know, get off that stratosphere layer, you know. So obviously that's an emotional argument, not a business one by any means. But I'll tell you what, you know, you were in Houston and back in the 80s when everybody was saying that not only was AM dead, but Top 40 was dead. And here comes, you know, the old 790 back to that. KULF becomes KKBQAM. And in one book, they owned all the teens in town. So the teens who supposedly would never listen to AM, when they had something they couldn't hear anywhere else, they listened. And that's still the case.
When they started, I was living in Dallas, so I would listen to them at night.
Uh-huh.
And then when I moved to Houston, I was listening to 92.9.
Right, of course. Well, you know, I mean, Gary Edens was smart at Southern. He knew that he had to eat his young, because obviously there's nothing about Top 40 that is so unique that your competition can't do it too. So he knew if he didn't eat his young that somebody would compete with him and it'd be over. And it would have. But the point was still that when it was the only game in town, all these teens who supposedly have never listened to AM, they found it, and in record time.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And then KRB kind of started to drift back to Top 40, so they had to make a move and, you know, change the format of 92.9. And, you know, even now, 93Q has been country now for 30-something years. And when I think of those call letters, I think of them as Top 40, and they haven't been that. You know, for
that's
decades.
So funny. I think
when
of them
I lived there, they were.
I think of them as KLVLFM.
Yeah.
It's still still Morales in Spanish to me, but
KYND too.
Remember when Woody Sudbring first bought it, the AM was KYED, and then KYND was the FM.
Right.
You know, but I always left it KYID. But they were, you know, it was a smart move. Woody was a very smart man. He would buy these underrated FM stations where if he just improved the signal, he'd own the world, and buy an AM where he could put the paid religion on it. And it basically supported him doing that, and he became very wealthy with that. So,
That always made sense to me to do that.
Yeah.
You have a lot of, because you could sell those preachers out, And as long as they pay, and you can.
Oh, they do.
If you have a decent AM signal.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. And that's what they're buying. They're buying signals more than anything. And then, of course, if you have a manager who is part of the clique, you know, somebody who is part of the National Religious Broadcasters and all that, because, you know, they all kind of knew each other. And if you had that guy running it, you know, he's got his contacts, too. So, sure, that was a way to print money while you're moving in frequencies, whether it was Miami or Houston or Baltimore, Woody did all of them and more. So he did very well.
But I know if I were in Chicago, I would probably listen to GM probably on the app.
A lot of people
just
do.
Just because I'm curious, you know, how many people do listen to them on the radio versus the app, because...
I think that's basically how they're setting up their life in general. If they're phone users who use all the apps, sure, that's comfortable to them. If they're radio users who don't, you know, like, I don't use apps. I don't know nothing from phones. I'm listening to the radio. That's all there is to it. I would assume that those decisions are made independent of whether it's GN or whatever, but whether they're going to listen to a phone or not is, you know.
You know, they promo the app, you know, make us, you know, on your, whatever they, on some of the promos.
Oh, sure, you know, sure. And that, you know, in the best light, that should be a revenue stream, you know, because they can geofence it.
Yeah.
And, you know, get all those commercials out there and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, either way. But the bottom line is, you know, people want to hear WGN, so they listen to it however they want to listen to it. But the bottom line is they listen. That's right. They listen. That's right. And, you know, sadly, not that much on the air these days, AM or FM, that you say, this is appointment listening for me. It's just not there.
Oh, no. No, there's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of what's there is either some sort of religion or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Or foreign language, you know.
Yeah.
Not limited to languages you've heard before in your life. You know, some of them in L.A., I'm like, I wonder what that is. I know it's not English, but it's not Spanish. It doesn't seem to be. Yeah. Yeah. But they're paying the bills. And I often wonder how the licensees make sure that they're, you know, not advocating overthrowing the government or something else that would lose the license. So hard to say.
Yeah. 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 You know, I guess what you don't know, you don't know.
Well, right, but somebody might.
Somebody might, yeah, that's true.
When I was running the board as a kid, basically, not much more than a kid, when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened and all that, and I was running the board, I had a general manager, might have told you this before, who said, now just make sure they're not overthrowing the government, you know. And of course, I was memorizing the out cues. I was not fluent in anything, right? And so I looked at him and I said, I can't stop them from relieving themselves in the wastebasket. How do you think I'm going to stop them from overthrowing the government?
Yeah.
Well, do your best. You know.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're playing the tape forwards or backwards.
Oh, well, that, I did the Scandinavian hour backwards, and everybody, of course, called it. And I thought they were upset with the host. What did I know? Yeah. But the strangest thing about that was when I had moved to L.A. and I was programming KPOL, I had a newsman, Jerry Lee Trowbridge. He did the exact same thing at K-Fox in Long Beach. And I said, I feel vindicated. Somebody else did this. Yeah. So, well, you know, tape tails out. Yeah, how do you know? But so,
exactly. And,
you know but, if it had a musical intro, I would have maybe had a clue. But, you know, when it's just speech and Scandinavian, whether it's backwards or forward, sounded the same to me. So, yeah. Well, always wonderful to talk to you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your show. And we'll talk soon.
So we'll pick it up right there. Oh, we've got a lot of people to talk to. So here I am being long-winded again. I'll shut up on WGN Radio.
They raided the joint, took everybody down but me. And I was standing in the corner just as high as I could be. Some was drinking whiskey, some was drinking rum. I didn't have a glass, so they wouldn't give me none. Yes, they raided the joint, took everybody down but me. And I was standing in the corner just as high as I could be. Well, I saw an old man with a bag full of seed. I bet that cat raised a whole lot of weed. Yes, they raided the joint, took everybody down but me. took everybody down but me. And I was standing in a corner just as high as I could be. They treated me like a stranger, just like a dirty dog. They ate a pile of chops, gave me the tailing of that hog. Yes, they raided the joint, took everybody down but me. And I was standing in the corner just as high as I could be. Gee, it sure was funny, the best I ever saw. I heard somebody knocking, and in there walked the law. Then they raided the joint, took everybody down but me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it was Isaac who wanted to hear Vannie Smith, Vanita Smythe on that, actually. That was a soundie, and they were the precursors to Scopey Tones and the precursors to, like, MTV and all that, and the 40s, like 40 to 47 or so. There'd be three-minute films, and they were, you know, basically music videos, and they also simultaneously were released on Shellac on 78s, and so that one, they raided the joint. Was not an original. It was a Jump Blues song. Hot Lips Page did it. Aristine Jackson. There were others. I think Helen Humes did. But nonetheless, the very cute soundy was Vanita. Yeah, Vannie Smith at birth, but Vanita Smythe. She married Loman Pauling's brother. Yeah, Loman Pauling, the lead singer of the Five Royales. She married his brother Clarence, and I think they were married until he died. Yeah, and she left us around 1994. So you did not what? All right, so I don't know what that was, but I didn't either. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. That is going to take us to what? To Karen in Chicago. Karen's been waiting a while. So, Karen, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi.
What's up?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, good. You were a little faint, but I can hear you now. You know what? Before we get into the other, I got a question for you about those radio stations. Like, I listen to WBBM at night,
uh-huh.
And it sounds like everything is a repeat of what you heard in the day.
It is.
What do they do if there's an actual emergency?
Yes, don't we all?
Does somebody come on?
Don't we all wonder? If the ICBMs ever crest the pole, who will be the first to notify us? I don't know. In terms of that, obviously, if it's all kidding aside, if it's an EAS alert, it's probably going to be automatically forwarded by their NDEC. So that would air as an alert. But in terms of something really untoward, a May Day riot at 3 a.m. or something, I don't know. I don't think that's been tested yet. But there is a lot.
Yeah. Well.
And this is
I noticed they don't give me the time. Often wonder about the weather. That's got to be a repeat.
Oh yeah, but that usually is. The National Weather Service doesn't change the weather that often. So, you know, sadly, you're usually pretty good with that as long as you update it a few times a day. So, what is that?
That was my talking clock. I'm sorry.
All right,
I'm close to it.
It's not 12 o'clock a.m. It's 11:56:34. Your clock is wrong.
I'm gonna reset it.
Yeah, I tell you what.
I was wondering about the Cascades. You played a song one night called "Last Leaf."
Yeah, the Last Leaf.
And I liked them so well, I asked my smart speaker to play some music by the Cascades. And I just wonder who they are and where
I can tell you San Diego. I can tell you all about them, and of course their hit was "Rhythm of the Rain" that everybody remembers. But
I remember that vaguely.
Right, exactly. And they also had "Little Bitty Fallen Star" and "Shy Girl," Amber Cascades. There were "Maybe the Rain Will Fall," not "Baby," "Maybe," and all that. I'll tell you about the Cascades. But hang on, got to do the news first, and we'll get right back to it on WGN Radio.
Falling rain, telling me just what a fool I've been. I wish wish that it would go and let me cry in vain and let me be alone again. The only girl I care about is gone away, looking for a brand new start. But little does she know that when she left that day, along with her she took my heart. Rain, please tell me now, does that seem fair? For her to steal my heart away when she don't care. I can't love another when my heart's somewhere far away. The only girl I care about is gone away, looking for a brand new start. But little does she know that when she left that day, along with her she took my heart.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, the Cascades. Yes, they got their name from the detergent, of the dishwashing detergent of the same name, on Valiant 1963. That was a big hit. And actually, we're going to talk about the Cascades with Karen, but I realized that Mike in Elmwood Park had requested we play Rhythm of the Rain by the Cascades. So, hey, two for one there. Good deal. Hope Mike heard it. All right, now back to Karen. So you want to know who the Cascades were?
Yeah.
Okay. I could tell you that, actually. They were from San Diego. They were in the Navy, like half the people in San Diego back then. They were serving on the Jason. And they were singing. They had a group in the Navy, and it was called the Silver Strands. Didn't record anything. But John Gummo was a guy who was kind of sort of their manager, but also wrote some of the stuff. And then there were a couple others. So for the most part, John Gummo was the lead vocalist. So on the stuff you're hearing, like Rhythm of the Rain, that's it. But Lenny Green did lead guitar, but also did a lot of vocals. And he actually wrote some stuff, which was important to the story. But anyway, they got out of the Navy and they changed their name. They became the Thunder Notes. And they put out one, and count them, one record. It was actually Bob Keen from Delphi Records. Remember, he had done well, of course, when he had the Keen label. He had Sam Cooke, You Send Me. And then, of course, he had on Delphi, what's his name, Richie Valens and all that. And then he also had the Donna label, named after, of course, a Richie Valens song. So Bob Keen signed them. And Lenny Green wrote the B-side. The A-side was Payday, but the B-side was Thunder Rhythm, and it got some L.A. play, and this is what it sounded like, sort of. So that's why I got L.A. play. If you're saying, are there words? No, there are no words. Yeah, it was basically a surf record at that period of time. And so the deal was Lenny left after that, and they acquired another guitarist, Eddie, and some other players. And they were fans of the Beach Boys, of course, and the Beach Boys were based on the Four Freshmen. So they liked that vocal harmony. And they were doing demos at the time, and in fact, Barry Dvorzon owned Valiant, and which was distributed through Warner Brothers. But he was the one who thought, you know, you probably should change your name. So they were literally inspired by a box of dishwasher detergent, and they became the Cascades. And so,
wow.
Yeah, and so they did There's a Reason, which is a little L.A. record, but it didn't do anything. And but then they went to Gold Star, great studio in L.A., and greatest session musicians ever. Carol Kay's on bass and Glenn Campbell's on guitar, and Perry Botkin Jr. is the arranger for it, and Hal Blaine was on drums, but can't do anything about that. Anyway, the deal was that John Gummo wrote this while he was on watch during a thunderstorm while he was in the Navy, and that was Rhythm of the Rain. And so it got to number 3 on the national charts and sold a million copies. And so, of course, everybody was interested, And nothing happened after that. The Last Leaf, of course, I mentioned, and many of the other things as well. They also did a cover of Bob Lynn's Truly Julie's Blues. I remember they played it in San Diego, KCBQ, KGB, but that was pretty much it. But they were appearing in San Diego clubs, and also they'd come up to L.A. to the Strip, like they were at the Cinnamon Cinder every now and then. And they were in some movies, you know, teen movies that nobody would need to remember for any reason whatsoever.
Wow.
And John Gummo had a solo career, but it did absolutely nothing. And then Gabe Lapano came, but he did nothing either. So really, that's about it. John Gummo at some point recorded a disco version of Rhythm of the Rain. You don't want to hear it. And That pretty much is it. So yeah, John Gummo and Lenny Green, and of course again he left right around Rhythm of the Rain, and Art Eastlick and Eddie Snyder and Dave Szabo and a couple other members as well. So that's who they are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really like them. I don't know why I'd forgotten, but when you played Last Leaf,
yeah,
I wrote it down, and the next morning, I asked my smart speaker to play music by the Cascades, and I just loved it.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be playing My First Day Alone, but but that was when they re-released Last Leaf, they released it as a B-side to My First Day Alone. So I guess it requires a little bit of action here as far as that goes, and then we'll stop the Cascades.
First day alone, it's my first day alone. Why did I lose my love, mine to yesterday? Who's the only love I've known? It's my first day alone.
Kept it, actually, since it was the last thing they did on Valiant, just so I'd have it in my collection. But there you go.
Oh, I really like them.
Yeah, well.
I find all kinds of stuff every now and then. You will play something that I've never heard, and I'll run in the living room and write it down on my Braille, and then the next morning I'll ask my smart speaker to play it. Play that music by that person. I found more people like that.
Oh yeah, and that's
thank you.
Oh sure, and that's the beauty of YouTube and everything else, is that virtually everything is online. Occasionally I'll find things that aren't, but for the most part, most of it is. So quality varies, obviously, but if you're looking for something, you'll find it as long as you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I wanted to thank you for telling me about St. Anthony. Boy, that really works.
Yes, absolutely.
And believe it or not, I lost my iPhone. This is just recently, and I think it was missing for about, I don't know how long, and I just said the little rhyme you told us, St. Anthony,
please come around. Something is lost and cannot be found.
I lost my iPhone. It has to be found.
Right.
And it wasn't right away. But the other day, I was doing something at my desk, and I wanted some notes that I'd written. I pulled the sheet out. It was by the shelf, and the shelf has a little ledge that something could go underneath, if you don't watch
it.
And sure enough, out came the phone. I'm like, wow.
There you are.
Holy cats.
Yeah.
I found all kinds of things like that.
Good. Excellent.
I've been using it. I make good use of it. And I always thank St. Anthony after.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And of course, you know, this is a serious thing, too. I mean, my little rhyme is one thing, but, you know, I mean, the real prayers are, they're traditional prayers, you know.
I know. Yeah, I do. I, for a while, I was Catholic, and I know enough about it
yeah.
to know that, you know, that's very serious stuff. But also, I believe that it's serious. I really believe that they do intervene and help us.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we're wrong, who cares? There's nothing to lose.
No, and yeah. if it makes you feel better to believe
absolutely.
It, go for it.
You betcha. I'm with you 100%. All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and thanks for taking my call, and thank
always.
You for all the information.
Oh, my pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Here I am talking again. This is, well, of course, I guess they pay me to do that, but I'd rather you be talking, so we'll get right to you coming up on WGN Radio.
A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, and its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you. What good is a song if the words just don't belong? And a dream must be a dream for two. No good alone, I found my own. For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Two lips.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Five Keys version of To Each His Own. And it was Cleveland Dennis who wanted to hear it. He mentioned the Ink Spots, who of course had a big hit with it. But that was done by over 120 people, easily. And a number of them are good, but I really like the Five Keys. But Frankie Lane did a nice version of that. But the Platters had it. The Times had it. So we'll be playing more To Each His Own as the days and weeks go by, because it is just a fine song. Yeah, we'll probably avoid the Bobby Vinton and Jerry Vale versions. But yeah, there's a Eddie Arnold did it too. Yeah, you betcha. So a lot of them and still being recorded. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh, and Isaac has a request. All right, Isaac, what's your
Isaac Raleigh.
Yes.
I'm taking cottage cheese out the refrigerator. Thank you for playing They Raided the Joint.
Sure.
After you say, you know, I don't even, when I hear a song, you know, I don't even look them up. I just want to, like, let me find out what Raleigh knows about this person. After you said what you said about, how do you say her name? Vanita?
Yeah, Vanita Smythe.
Smythe?
Yeah, she was originally Vanny Smith, and then she changed her name to Vanita Smythe, S-M-Y-T-H-E. But
be more luxurious, glamorous?
Yeah, who knows? But like I say, she was married to Loman Pauling's brother. But anyway, yeah, it was a soundie. So did you look it up and watch it?
I did. The soundie was really funny, actually.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely is.
Her husband ended up more or less finding Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
He was the first producer for Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. No, and Clarence Paul is the name he went by. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so much that he said about Clarence Paul, of course.
And after that, after they got married, and they didn't stay married very long, she disappeared. I was reading, not Wikipedia, but there's a guy, I think his name is Marv Goldman's.
Oh, no, yeah. Uncle Marvy is the best.
Okay.
Yeah, Marv Goldberg.
He put a whole page out about her.
Yeah.
And saying that he could not find anything on her after, you know, basically after 1948. He couldn't find anything on her, and he said that soundies after the war, they basically kind of just played out. Some people say that television ended Soundies, but he disagreed with that notion. But moving on, I do want to request another song. This one is, I don't know if it's an album cut or not. It's by Dr. John and Etta James, and they sing I'd Rather Go Blind.
Yep.
And I thought it was an excellent version. My freshman year of high school, I found out in my garage this box. It was a radio, but then I could press a button and a little television popped up.
Okay.
And so I was looking it up, and it's from Panasonic.
Okay.
Back then, when I was in high school, so probably like 2012 maybe, I could scroll through and get a little black and white picture, you know, like the local news or so. I could scroll through and get stuff. Now I can't get anything out of it. And so I threw it away. And now I'm like, I wonder if there was any value to it.
No,
and I'm looking it up, and they want $100-something for it.
Because it's a collectible. But the reason you couldn't get anything is that all the frequencies changed. So the basis of the radio was no longer valid.
So is it obsolete?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But,
thing.
Collectibles are, I think it was like the R425 or something, and it had that small black and white pop-up, and...
was so cool.
Right. And there was, in 77 one came out, that was the 535, I remember that, and then there were a number of things that would do that, but...
Were they meant to be portable, or were they just...
They were portable or luggable, depending on how you like to look at it. But
it was a heavy thing.
Anything with a handle they call portable. When Philco brought out those TVs with the stand, that was portable too. You'd get a hernia lifting that sucker. But
glass to that, like I could thump it and it would hurt my fingers.
Oh,
like
right. Yeah. Okay. I had one of those Zenith Transoceanics that was all tube at the time, and it too had a handle, said it was portable. I was a child. I couldn't lift the damn thing.
Sure thing, right. I later on after that, my grandmother just ended up buying she bought this by mistake. She didn't know what she was buying, but it was a little DVD player.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that it could get television as well. And I would put a safety pin in the plug where the TV would go, and I'd get a signal. I'd get like all the local channels.
Okay.
And so now I'm thinking about, I want to buy that. I see that on eBay as well.
It won't work.
It won't.
No, because the stations aren't... Remember TV Repack when they got off the VHF band and all that stuff? They're not they're not where they were. So most of the old stuff isn't going to work.
Oh, wow. That was so much fun having that little thing. It was not even 7 inches big.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But the idea of those little pop-ups had been around a while. They had a Tootaloop for a while. You got to look that up to see it. But there were a number of things. So, yeah.
Okay.
And they were
all
fun.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Riley.
Anytime.
Don't forget my song. And other than that, have a good night.
I already forgot your song. This is bad. What is it?
It was Dr. John.
Oh, right, and Etta James, I'd Rather Go Blind. I actually did write it down.
Yeah,
I did write it down, but I didn't write your name.
I like hearing what you have to say afterwards.
Okay, we'll do it. All right, thanks. Okay, appreciate it. Yeah, I wrote it down. I just didn't write Isaac next to it, so there we have it. I am absolutely not together, and I miss Carol so much. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to have the news, and then I promise we'll be getting to Eduardo, Robert, John, and Chris. Coming up on WGN Radio.
And there are people and songs that seem to be made for each other. And speaking of being together, we have a perfect combination right here. Miss Etta James, ladies and gentlemen, I'd Rather Go Blind. Something told me that it was over, baby, baby. When I saw you and that girl and y'all was talking, something deep down in my soul said, go on and cry, girl.
when I saw you and that same girl and you always walking by. Oh yeah. And I'd rather, oh I'd rather be a blind girl, baby, yeah, baby. I would rather be a blind girl than to watch you walk away from me, baby, don't leave. Cause you see, I love you so much that I don't wanna watch you leave me, babe. And another thing is, I don't wanna be free. I was just sitting here, I was thinking about your sweet kiss and your... When I looked down in the glass that I held to my lips and I saw the reflection of the tears rolling down my face, that's when I knew I loved you and I can't do without you, and I'd rather be a blind girl, baby, baby. Give you up. Don't you know that little girl I was running around with was just a little sideshow in my life. Knowing it wasn't nothing serious, I guess I was just a little delirious. I guess I lost my mind, but I'd rather be blind than to watch you go. I don't wanna go. I don't wanna see you go. I don't want you to go. And I don't wanna go neither. I don't want you to leave me, baby. Don't go. I don't want you to leave me, baby. Please don't go.
WGN Radio. And that's Etta James and Dr. John for Isaac. And that's actually not on record, as far as I know. It might be, but it's from an old B.B. King blues special in television, 1987, blues session, B.B. King and Friends. And that's who was introducing her in the beginning. So that was Etta James, and then out walks Dr. John. There you have it. So 888-876-5593. Eduardo in Tampa. All right. Been waiting forever. I hope he's still with us. Eduardo, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I just got out of the shower.
Oh, well, good,
so
good.
Let me take a shower, because otherwise I'll be snoozing like the days.
No, that's...
Remember the days when I was in my basement on the massage bed? Remember that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, nothing
falling
wrong with
asleep.
That. An infamous thing, I was talking once to a boss, and I said, hold on a second, and I actually took a shower and then came back to the phone. So, yes, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, so before I get to my... I got a couple things I can loop into the word canceled. Sister Sledge.
Yeah.
I never heard that. I looked at your website.
Okay. All right. Sister.
It was One More Time.
One More
Yeah.
Time. Okay. I'll look for it. Sister Sledge, One More Time. You got it.
Yeah. So regarding canceled, Barry Manilow this Friday, that's
yeah,
canceled.
Yeah, right.
You can't even sing more than three songs.
I know. It's really sad.
So I knew it was going to get canceled.
Right. Right. They all were, as far as that goes right now. Yeah. And
yeah.
Hopefully he'll
so
be
they
on
said
the
maybe
end.
In April.
But, yeah, I know everything from this week through, you know, like I think it was like St. Patrick's Day or something.
Yeah.
He had surgery in December, And it was lung cancer, actually. And so
the
bottom line is not so much like his vocal cords as much as his just breathing and having the breath to do too many songs. And so he's rescheduling a lot of things, and including there was a show in Nashville that I think he is now doing in August. Things like mm-hmm. that. So that's unfortunate, but man, you don't fool around with that, because you screw it up and you'll be you'll be ailing for a lot longer.
Hopefully he'll be back soon. I gotta tell you, what's going on with this this Wendy Walsh was cut from KFI. She's a relationship talk.
Oh, really?
She come out on Sundays. Her last show was yesterday. But it goes on her page, or it says Facebook on there, and says, due to iHeart corporate cuts, my show will no longer be on after Sunday. And Mo Kelly got canceled previously, but I think his might have been more about rating.
Well, and of course,
any trends that you've heard of?
No, I mean, well, obviously, we know that iHeart and Cumulus and Odyssey are all just hemorrhaging money because of the debt service that they owe. So that's not unusual for anything. But Wendy okay. after Wendy After Dark, I thought was Canadian originally, and I think she's from PEI. So was that show local to KFI?
Yeah, okay. Wendy Walsh.
Yeah.
She was on for quite a long time.
All right, well, yeah.
Come on every Sunday.
Okay, well, yeah, she's originally Canadian. Well, she is Canadian. I shouldn't say originally Canadian. You're always Canadian, if that's the case. And I think she's got dual citizenship and that. But I guess she was doing news for a while, and then I know she was on Extra for a while, those kind of shows, and different things like that. And so, there was a deal with Bill O'Reilly, if you remember, that was sort of, she claimed things that who knows. But in any event, she's written some books and all that stuff. So I guess she's in the Bay Area now. I don't know. So she was doing weekends at KFI?
Yeah. She was on for a couple hours right before the George Norris show would come on.
Right. Yeah. And that, of course, doesn't cost him anything, clearly. That's coast to coast, they own it, so that's syndicated stuff. So I don't know.
Okay.
I guess the answer is going to be who do they replace her with?
Who knows? Although I will say, regarding KFI, they did do a reshuffle
right.
on the lineup.
Okay.
So,
well, that
they got somebody named Chris Merrill and Michael Mumps now doing
that
some of the afternoons right after Shannon and. The other one.
All right. Well, but those kind of changes happen all the time. So so I guess here's the thing: if Sunday they said it'd be your last show, gee, next Sunday you'll be listening and you'll tell me who's on.
Yeah. Well, what's your just one more thing? What's your schedule for the rest of the week, like tomorrow and Thursday?
Well, tomorrow and the first hour, Steve Probst is joining me. I'm glad you're asking that. And so that's always fun.
Okay.
We do that every quarter or so, but it's a full show. And I think that that Thursday is as well. Let me look. I will check with WGNradio.com. That's where I find out. And let's see what they say to me. So here we are. And it is... Wednesday. So it's a full show tomorrow. Like I say, Steve in the first hour, and then anything's up for grab. And looks like there's a Chicago Blackhawks game on Thursday. The Blackhawks at Nashville. So that could delay me, I'll say, a half hour.
Okay.
So Thursday I should be
on. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, 10:30. So yes, whatever
okay.
you would like to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'll call back. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love
yeah,
to.
Yeah, either tomorrow or Thursday.
Absolutely, that'll be fun. I'll look forward
okay,
to it.
Okay,
what?
Okay, thank you very much. I'll enjoy
thanks.
The rest of the show.
Okay,
okay,
bye.
Bye.
All right. So, yeah, I haven't listened to KFI in a long time. And I can hear them here, too. And I guess I'm not out driving around or whatever. Although lately my radio has just been dying. And I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing in the old Z28. I don't know what it is either, because I can tell that the receiver's still working, but the speakers aren't. And then it'll go off for a couple hours, and I figure it's just that must be my time to commune with God or something. Yeah, but obviously it's not my time to listen to the radio. All right, so John in Covington, welcome back to WGN Radio. So John in Covington, Well, you went to the doctor today. Got a report. Can't wait to hear it. All right, so now let's say goodbye to John and say hello to Gene and Dalton. All right, Gene, how you doing?
Hello. How are you today?
Yeah, I can't complain.
Good morning.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, you picked me up because I had a very bad day. Somebody got into my bank account. I was on the phone for hours.
No.
And then Kimberly was on the phone for hours because she couldn't get a new SIM card for her phone. So you know how much with the technology they keep you on holding. And it was a bad day. So you came along and played Eddie Arnold.
Yeah.
And you picked me up, and I thank you again.
Oh, my
and
pleasure.
I love the song, Make the World Go Away. And you know, about 20 years, 25 years ago, well, more than that now, when that came popular,
yeah.
I never sang, but I hummed along at the karaoke because Elizabeth and Kimberly loved karaoke.
Uh-huh.
And I would just love the words to that. So thank you for that.
Oh, sure.
Because I haven't heard it in a long, long time. So that made the end of a day a very long day.
Oh, good.
And I want to thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
And the caller before, the last two, had liked Etta James. And, you know, talking about Elizabeth there in the storm in New York, when she was in high school, she got to like her and did a beautiful rendition of At Last. She sang it beautifully at the karaoke.
Nice.
And I bought her the CDs of her, and it was so funny that all in one night spoke about it. And three things you picked me up on in St. Anthony. I taught my daughter, I taught the grandchildren all about St. Anthony, and has helped me.
Right.
And helped Kimberly and, you know, Elizabeth and everybody. So I'll tell you, you do wonders for me, and I thank you. And like I always tell you, I'm not going to forget you. You are in my book.
Well, it's so nice of you. I'm glad you're doing well.
You know,
well.
And that is just, you know, I just wish you and John the best because, you know, you just make the world a better place for a lot of people out there. And, I, you know, we all appreciate you.
Now, let me ask you, did you get your money back?
Oh, they're working on it.
I hope so.
It's some kind of thing that got in my account from California called Shortmax or something.
I don't know.
And I don't know. They got so many charges. And I didn't catch it right away with being so sick.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, who would? So something's automatically, maybe it's Shortmax. That's a streaming service.
Yeah, Shortmax, you're
okay,
right.
Okay, Shortmax, yeah. And what you're talking about is actually the reason I knew that Shortmax existed is the number of people who have been complaining about unauthorized subscriptions. So the other thing is for people who did legitimately sign up, they found out they can't cancel. They try to cancel, they can't get away with it, hidden fees and all that. So the bottom line to this is that you're not alone, and that may help you.
That's what he said.
Yeah, you're not. But in the future, if you're ever going to subscribe to anything or whatever, never use a debit card or a bank account. Always use a credit card.
That's what he said too to me.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, I'm 92 years old.
Yeah.
I don't even use that
right,
card.
Right.
He said, it's a debit card. And I said, well, you know, what is the difference between the debit card and
my
the credit
God.
Card?
Did he explain that with debit cards, you do not have nearly the federal protection you have with credit cards?
I learned today.
Yeah.
I got an education of 2 hours on the phone to the bank.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people, do not use debit cards. I wouldn't even use an ATM card because basically you're at the mercy of the bank. Credit cards, you've got all sorts of protection.
Mm-hmm. I have no protection. It's going into investigation.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, if it's a credit card, the most you could possibly owe is $50 if you told them.
Oh. That's a whole lot better than what
yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are all sorts of federal protection laws with credit cards. There are none with debit cards. You are at the mercy of your bank. And there are some people who think, erroneously, well, I'm FDIC insured. No, FDIC only has to do with if the bank fails, the federal government will back it. It has nothing to do with theft of your account. And a lot of people don't know this either. Safe deposit boxes aren't insured in any way, shape, or form.
That I know from my mother.
Yeah.
I remember that when
right.
she passed.
Right.
But
well, yeah.
Business, I didn't know anything. So, you know, I told him, my banker, I said, you know, my card is in my purse. I said, I don't even use it just for doctors and hospitals. I said, hey, for the last year.
No.
And I said, nobody's had that card.
Well,
you
just said the magic thing, doctors and hospitals. Medical is about the loosest form of protection. I can tell you throngs of stories of people who got in trouble because of a medical data breach. I would not use those. You know, basically, I'd say I don't want the debit card. Take it back, cancel it, just cancel it, whatever. Get a credit card and use that credit card.
Oh, now, golly, I wish I would have talked to you about something
now,
like that, but I never was in a
well,
jam like that.
Now, remember, with credit cards, if you pay the balance in full at the end of the month, there's never any mm-hmm. finance charges. So it doesn't cost you. And on top of that, most of these cards have things like cash back. You know, you can pick what you want for your benefits. But like Citibank will give you 2% cash back, 1% when you charge it, 1% when you pay it. So that's 2% money just to you. And there's not a limit on that, which is kind of nice. So,
I'll call them.
Yeah, and there,
I have to change right away.
Right, and there's a number of people who are okay. There are some I don't advise people to go. I'm not going to tell you on the air what I think about that. But anyway, there are bottom feeders as far as that goes. But even with the bottom feeders, you have federal protection with a credit card.
Oh. Well, I just found that out at 92 years old today.
Well, now you know.
Like I told him, I said to the banker today, I said, you know, we didn't even have credit cards when I was younger. And then women, when they got the credit cards, I said, women couldn't get them. I said, for a long, long time.
Oh.
And he's only 58 years old. He's a baby, and I don't think he even knew.
Well, I remember the first card they brought out. They were not credit cards. They were charge cards. And the first one was in 1950. It was Diners Club. And I had my Diners Club card. And then Carte Blanche. And then
my brother had that too.
He
was the mayor in that little town that I raised in.
Right.
And he's always had his Diners Club.
Absolutely. But it was good for all sorts of things. But it was a charge card. You had to pay in full at the end of the month. And then in 1958, American Express came out. And so that also was a charge card. You know, you paid it in full. And it wasn't until the 60s, Bank of America brought out the Bank AmeriCard. And man, did they ever screw up, because they sent it to everybody who had an account, not understanding that if you send a card unsolicited, the people don't have to pay. And so people use the cards never paid.
I didn't know that. So, I have American Express.
That's why now, like when a bank is offering you a deal or whatever, you always have to fill out the application or sign here or something. You have to sign before they'll send you a card. Otherwise, you don't have to pay for the charges. So they stopped that. And then when Bank America came out, then the next one was Master Charge, and you know, they had their issues too. But then they became, of course, Visa and MasterCard later.
Well, you know what this shows everybody? You're never too old to learn.
Yeah. Well, you never thought it'd be a problem, and I understand that. But, yeah, no debit cards. Boo hiss.
Yeah, and the same thing with Kimberly. We had mobile phone service. I don't know. Elizabeth had signed us up when she was, you know, flight attendant, both of us.
All right.
Okay, so now with the baby and everything, is all changed, her lifestyle. So we got cellular. So, okay, mine's working, but Kimberly can't get her SIM card. It wasn't enclosed in the new phone. And for 5 days now, she's trying to get a SIM card. Finally, this afternoon, after hours on the phone, I mean literally hours, the whole afternoon, now they say that they were in a conference call, that they're going to be doing it. But it's been a struggle with just changing phones. So we have been in with our doctor's appointment, trying to change them, fit them in. I said, it's been a real dog day.
Oh, man.
So when you came on and you played those two songs, I said, thank God.
happy to do it. Always wonderful to hear from you.
Oh, well, you're precious. And now I'll tell you, We just need more people like you out in this world. I'm not just saying that. You know, when I hear all the different things going on, I don't even understand half of it. So I'm really learning in this old age. And I'll tell you, I wish we could go back to my first job when I was a private secretary.
Oh, of course.
At a big plant.
Absolutely.
You know, you do your own filing, you do your own typing, you do your own shorthand, and you knew where everything was, or you didn't have a job.
Absolutely. I'm a Diamond Jubilee girl, so yes, I know shorthand to this day. I use it.
You do?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And
grandchildren get the kick out of that. You know, I had all my shorthand notebooks and everything going through it.
It was Greg, not Pittman, but I went to school in the South, and that was one good thing. The girls, we all took shorthand typing, business office machines, and we took something called business math that was the best thing ever. You no longer even had to think. If it was 40% off, you knew in your head exactly what that would mean. And I thought they were the greatest courses, but for business math, like, we went and we opened a bank account and we bought a share of stock and all that. So girls had to do that. And I thought it was great. And of course, they did away with it.
You're right. Because I think the one you said, we had retail selling with it.
Yes, absolutely. Of course. Yes, and those were wonderful things. But, you know, they went all with that college track, and then that women had to be like men and or boys like girls and all that. But those were useful. You know, who the hell remembers geometry? But, you know, I remember business math. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right.
A big difference.
Yeah.
My one brother took everything in math. He was a whiz at it, all the way up to trigonometry and, I don't know, all these things. And I said, what did you ever use it for? You know, and he never did.
No, you don't use it, but actually there's a lot of logic in it. And there are some good logic tasks you learn for that. But, yeah, multivariable calc, no, I'm not using vectors and matrices either. All right. So, anyway, always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bye.
And I appreciate you much.
Okay, thanks.
Bless you.
All right. So, let's see. I got, I'm just too wordy, and I'm so sorry. Tomorrow night, we've got Steve Probst in the first hour, and then 2 hours with you, I hope. But let me see if I can here in the last moment see what Robert and LaGrange has to say, if he's still there. Are you still there, Robert? No, Robert gave up. Robert was smart. And Chris in Greenwood, and I apologize for that because now I flat out run out. But I got about 10 seconds here. Let's see if Chris wants these 10 seconds. Maybe I can ask him to call back in the second hour tomorrow. Are you still with us, Chris?
Yeah, I'm still with y'all.
All right. Well, I think
I got to make a quick phone request.
Well, that's all right. A quick request. All right. We're off the air, by the way. The show is over. Show is
over. And Never Let You Go.
Never Let You Go. All right.
Faith Evans.
Faith Evans. All right. Thanks. All right. And
I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, good. And I'm pretty sure we're out of time. I'm talking to myself again.
Enemies Embrace Evil, plus Cranium Clearance Sale, and Fetish-Fueled Fibs. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Gang merger madness. An unholy alliance is re-rigging LA's underworld. Cops say MS-13 and the 18th Street Gang, once sworn enemies, have buried beefs to build a super gang syndicate. Police warn the merger runs under Mexican mafia muscle, trading street war bloodshed for profits, partnerships, and paydays, from drugs and extortion to booming underground casinos. Investigators say soft laws and thin patrols made the math irresistible. Bottom line, when rivals stop fighting and start filing balance sheets, crime doesn't calm down. It corporatizes. Retail rigor mortis. Police in Michigan are puzzling over a thrift store thriller after a human skull surfaced stuffed in a shirt at a Goodwill donation bin. Staff spotted the bone-chilling bonus between bargain blouses and cast-off cardigans, triggering a call to cops and a scramble for clues. Investigators say the skull shows no obvious damage, and forensic tests could take months to sort the mystery. It's proof that one person's gently used goods are another department's deeply disturbing donation. Clickbait confessions. A man on trial for murder in Virginia faced a forensic feverish courtroom as prosecutors paint a plot of betrayal, bloodshed, and bait, luring with kinky clicks and a twisted triangle. The defense denies, deflects, and declares the case absolutely crazy, while jurors gulp grim details and lawyers spar over motive, messages, and mayhem. Verdict vultures, stay vigilant. When salacious screenshots start steering a homicide, it's less true crime, more true cringe. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.